Little Sarah was in her bedroom busily getting ready to go to church one Sunday, and her mom walked in and handed her a crisp, brand new $1 bill and a nice, shiny quarter. And she gave it to her. She said, "This is what I want you to do, Sarah. It says, when we're in church and it comes time for the offering, I want you to put one of them in the plate and the other one you keep for yourself." And so off they went to church, and they're on the ride home. And so mom asked her, "So Sarah, what did you decide to do when we were sitting at church?" She says, "Well, mom, I thought a lot about it. And for most of the service, I was determined to put that dollar in the plate. And then the pastor said, God loves a cheerful giver. And I thought, I'm going to be a whole lot more cheerful if I give the quarter." So I did. And the thing is, she's right. The thing is, she's right. What I mean by that is, if she was putting the dollar bill in because she felt guilty if she didn't, or if she was putting it in because she thought her mom wanted her to put it in, that's not the kind of gift that God is interested in. But if truly she could give the quarter with great joy in her heart, then absolutely put the quarter in the plate. Because God wants your heart. He's looking for a heart that joyfully, willingly, gives back to Him. This is our second week of looking at a heart that God wants us to have. It's not a heart that comes to us naturally. So we've been praying that God would create this heart in us. So last week we said, God, create in me a trusting heart. Pastor Mark reminded us that God provides for all of our needs, and that we should put our trust in Him, because He is the one that gives us all things that we have. So if we could look to God alone instead of our own ability and assets and have a trusting heart. And here's the thing. If we truly have a trusting heart, think about how freeing that is. Think of all the anxiety and all the stress that's taken away from us if we put that all on God and just trust Him and His provision. And if that's true, then we can have joy in our life, and we can have a heart that's filled with joy. And that's where we're at today. We're asking God and we're praying to God, create in me a joy-filled heart. And specifically, create in me a joy-filled heart when we're talking about giving back to God a portion of what He's given to us. So let's dig into that. First of all, understand, giving is a decision of the heart. It is not an intellectual decision. It is not a mental decision. First and foremost, it is a decision of the heart. What do I mean by the heart? Well, if we look at the Bible, there are over 1,000 times that it uses the word heart. Between the Old Testament and the New Testament, there's three words that we translate with the one word heart. And all but a handful of those 1,000 instances actually talk about the physical organ that pumps blood. When the Bible talks about our heart, it's really referring to who we are at our core. Who are we at our deepest level? It's an intersection, if you will, of our intellect, our emotion, our will, our attitude, our motivation. All of that comes together at the center and core of who we are as a human being. That's what Scripture is talking about as the heart. Now, one Bible dictionary, I thought, captured it well. It put it this way. It said, the use of the word heart in all of these contexts, it just quoted a bunch of Scripture, in all of these contexts suggests that on the deepest level, human beings are guided and determined from one central point which represents humanity, the heart. Just focus on that for a moment. That at the deepest level of human beings, we're guided and determined from one simple point which represents humanity, that's the heart. So when Scripture says that David was a man after God's own heart, at his core, he was after God's heart. Or when Jesus says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Because he's recognizing whatever is most important to you, whatever is driving you in your life, is at the center of your life. That's where your heart is at. My friends, God wants your heart. He wants nothing more, nothing less, but He wants your heart. He wants your whole being, who you are at your core. That's why He's willing to do anything, everything, so that He could capture your heart. He was even willing to send His only Son into the world to take on flesh and blood to live among us. And even though He was perfect, He took all the punishment for our sin-filled heart, for our corrupt hearts, so that He could give us a new life, so that He could give us a new heart. Create in me a new heart, God, a trusting heart, a joy-filled heart. So it's the heart that God is after. Okay, so giving comes from the heart. Now, what kind of heart is it that God is looking for? Well, we'll look to the scriptures for that. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. Each one must give as he's decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. There is a lot in this one sentence. Right? It starts out, each one must decide in his heart. So there's a decision to be made. We'll get into that in a minute. But it comes from the heart. What kind of heart are we looking for? Well, there's two things that it's not. It's not a reluctant heart, nor is it a heart under compulsion, but instead it's a cheerful heart. So I thought to myself, well, let's dig into those three things. Let's dig into those three words, and what is it exactly that God wants from us? So I dug into the word reluctantly, so it's not to be reluctant. You know what I discovered? I actually have biblical proof that for some people, it pains them to give any money away. Biblical proof, it's just painful for them to give any money away. Because if you look at the core of the meaning of reluctant, it means this: physical pain, suffering, distress, sorrow, anxiety. So what is God teaching us here? God is teaching us here, if it pains you to give, don't. If it causes you sorrow and distress and anxiety, don't. And I'm absolutely serious about that. Because God wants your heart. And God's concerned about your heart. And if you give, right, the offering plate goes by and it's like, oh man, always they're after my money, right? No. Then don't. Because that's not the heart that God is looking for. Instead, pray that God would change your heart. Pray that God would create in you a joy-filled heart, not something that gives with reluctance. God isn't interested in that. The second one, he says, not under compulsion. So what does that mean, under compulsion? Well, if you dig into this word, what it really means is out of necessity or, worse, through pressure being applied. You're feeling pressured that you have to give. So the plate's coming down the aisle. Everyone else is giving. I guess I better throw in a couple shekels myself. No. The usher's giving me a dirty look. I guess I better give him a couple shekels. No. Not under pressure, not under compulsion, not even under guilt, absolutely not under guilt. If you're feeling guilty, like, boy, I got to do something to help on around here. No. Ask God to change your heart. Create in me a joy-filled heart, God, because that's what he's interested in. And that's when we get to the last word, when he says a cheerful heart. The Greek word for that is hilaros. Now, hilaros, you're saying, boy, that sounds like hilarious. Yes. That's where we get the word hilarious from. Does that mean it's a joke, that it's funny? No, no. In this context, it has nothing to do with humor. But ask yourself, when you find something hilarious, how do you feel? When you find something absolutely hilarious and you're just laughing and you let it all out, right? There's great joy in your life. You got a happiness. I mean, laughter is one of the best ways to relieve stress in your life. So God says, I want you to have a joy-filled, cheerful heart where all of the stress is gone and you're willingly, eagerly, you can't wait to give back to God. That's the heart that he wants. That's what he's after. That's what we're praying for when we say, create in me a joy-filled heart, God. A heart that says, I can't wait. I can't wait to give this back to God. Now, let's circle back around. So that's the heart that God wants us to have. But he made an important point at the beginning. He said, giving is a decision, right? Each one should give as they've decided in his heart. That means it's not just something that we do spur of the moment. It's not the Sunday morning shuffle. What are we going to throw on the plate this time or stuff in the envelope? It means that it's well thought through because it's part of our overall stewardship. Understand, biblical stewardship is much, much more than just what we give back to God. Biblical stewardship says that everything in this world belongs to God. He created it, after all. And he gives it to us to use. He even gives us the ability to earn a living, to make money and buy things. So it all gets traced back to him, which means we're to be a good steward of all of it, everything that we have. That means that we should pay off our debt. That means that we should save for the future and save for the unexpected. And yes, it means that we give a portion of it back to God, and it also means that we enjoy the fruit of our labor, that we work hard, and there should be some sort of reward at the end of that, and we enjoy it. So we manage well so that we can pay off debt, save, give back to God, and enjoy the resources that He's given to us. But it's a decision. It means that we take pencil to paper, and we write down and we say, all right, looking at all that God has given me, what can I honestly, truthfully, in my heart, with joy, give back to God? What is it that I can't wait eagerly? I want to give this back to God. And that's the choice and decision that you make long before Sunday morning ever comes up. Now, what's the result of all of this? The result of all of this is giving results in joy. In other words, so we give it with joy-filled heart, eagerly expecting, and then it ends up being a great experience for us when we do it. And it produces even more joy. You see, the joy is for the giver. So not only do we give for it joyfully, but then it brings happiness, contentment, a deal of satisfaction to us when we actually offer it back to God. When we give our offerings, it's a tangible way to respond to God. A tangible way we can respond for all that God has done for us. We're saved by grace through faith, and it's a gift of God, which means we have no part in it. We're just simply on the receiving end. God is the one through His grace, His undeserved mercy, that He sent His Son to die for us, and now because of Him, He says our sins are forgiven, and that heaven is yours and a new life here on earth. But He just gives it. We don't earn it, and we don't deserve it, but he gives it to us. And then on top of all of that, everything we have in this world He gives us. So He gives us the intellect, the strength, the power, the gifts and the talents to earn a living so that we can make money, right? So all that's given to us. Well, we want to respond. I mean, that's just a human response, is that when you have received a large gift, any gift really, but especially a great gift, you want to somehow respond to the giver. Our offerings are a way we can tangibly thank and praise God. And when we do, it feels good. There's a sense of satisfaction that we're able to do that. I'll give you an illustration. Hopefully it works for you. It works for me. So back in August, I made a trip to Kansas City to see daughter number two. Daughter number two graduated from vet med school last spring. So she was just starting in a new practice in Kansas City, and so went for a long weekend to visit with her, see where she's living, everything's going on. So one night, of course, we go out to dinner. Well, what happens when dad and daughters go to dinner? Dad pays. I mean, willingly, you know, I mean, that's how it's always been. Dad's going to pay. As we're walking in the restaurant, she says, I'm paying tonight. And I started to protest. I said, now, honey, you're just starting out. You're just getting. She goes, no. As we sit down at the table, and she's very serious, she goes, you don't understand. I have been looking forward to this for years. All that you have given to me, all that you have sacrificed, and now I'm finally in a position I can buy you dinner. She says, that feels great. She said, that feels great. That's how we give back to God. God, look at all that you've done for me, all that you've sacrificed for me. The generous things that you've given me, and now I get to give it back to you for your work. That feels great. That feels great. That's a joy-filled heart. That's a joy-filled heart. It brings joy to the giver, and it brings joy to others. I mean, so it just multiplies from there. Take a look back again at 2 Corinthians. We'll go down to verse 11. He says, you'll be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. Listen to what Paul is saying here. Paul is making a collection for the dispersed Christians around Jerusalem. They're being persecuted, kicked out of their houses, right? They lost their jobs. They don't have anything. So he's making collections at the various churches to help them out, right? And he says, listen, God's been generous with you, and He's given you more than enough. Now you're being generous back to God. Now He says, through us, we're going to give those gifts to the fellow saints around Jerusalem, and they're going to be blessed by that, and it results in thanksgiving to God. Because all of a sudden, they're going to be filled with joy as they see God's provision for them through you. So thanksgivings are offered up from them. It's no different today. God has richly blessed each and every one of us. And then we generously give back to God for his work and for his kingdom. And just as the lives were saved and changed back in Jerusalem, lives are saved and changed today. In a couple weeks, these boxes are going to go across the globe. There's going to be literally hundreds of children who will open up a Christmas gift probably for the first time and be overjoyed because of your generosity. Now, let's be honest about it. This is one little box. That's nothing for us. I don't think there's one of us that would give just this to our kids, right? And these kids are going to be overjoyed for receiving it. There are families in Chandler that if it weren't for you and your generosity, would not have a nice Thanksgiving meal. But because of your generosity of giving turkeys or checks, they're going to have a spread on Thanksgiving, right? And Thanksgiving is going to go up to God and joy in their hearts. We've got an early learning center that is filled with children from infants through kindergarten who hear about Jesus and his love every single day. And for most of the families, it's the only place they hear about Jesus. It's only here that they hear about his love. Think about the joy that we bring to them. How about the kids who are in JAM right now, or the kids who are in Ignite that are growing in their faith? How about you and I, as we're fed from the Word and from the sacrament, as we've got the witness of baptism, as God's Holy Spirit entered into Presley's heart, right? And joy and thanksgiving is erupting to God. We built a house in Guatemala. We're going to build more houses and change lives down there. We support a Christian school in South Africa so that they get a great education, but they also learn about Jesus and his love. And it goes on and on from there. Because of your generosity, because it brings joy in your heart, now it's multiplied. And others are offering up thanksgiving to God. And they have joy in their heart. That's what God's after. That's what our prayer is. It all begins with the heart. The core of who we are as a human being. And asking God to change that heart by his grace. I want him to create a trusting heart. I want him to create a joy-filled heart. Amen. Would you stand and pray with me? Heavenly Father, we cannot thank you enough for all the gifts that you have showered down upon us. Everything that we have in this world is because of you, and everything that we'll have in the next life is also because of you and your Son, Jesus. We offer up thanksgiving praise to you, and we thank you for the privilege of being able to share in that as we also are able to tangibly respond back to you with our offerings. We ask that your Holy Spirit would fill our hearts, and that when we give with great joy. In Jesus' name. Amen.